Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, what keeps you up at night? What did you see in the film clip that said, that's me, that's where I've been this week. That's what is ahead of me in the week to come. Is it bills unpaid? Is it job pressures, romance, or the lack of romance, indigestion, physical pain, or a grandchild sleeping between you and your wife at night? You know, part of the gift of Vicki and I being grandparents is we claim the privilege to set our own grandparent rules, and our children support that. And so, when some of the parents are gone, then they're with us and they can hop in bed at night. And so one night, Vicki said, I looked over in the bed and Jack's legs were just all over your face and you were just sleeping away. And one night I looked over and Jack was like sideways, kind of pushing us both out of bed, but he controlled the scene. Whether it's going on within us or around us is a sense that we experience life in the context of life and the push and pull of what comes with life. And therefore, God comes in the middle of our every challenge, not in spite of them. We don't wait for God to show up when there's no challenge there. God has a promise to show our way by his pathway through each problem. Maybe that's what kept this woman up at night. She recently wrote a letter to her former employer. She had worked with them in the 1990s, and another employee had told her that she could make some extra money simply by not recording all the meals and the drinks that she was serving, and that she could just pocket the rest of that money. And she said in a letter that she wrote 25 years later to her employers, that she could not sleep at night on many nights because she had grown up in church and she knew that what she was doing for wrong, for a reason that she can't explain, she decided to fall into the temptation and pocket that money. But it was time to make things right, and so she wrote her former employer, thanking them for the opportunity to have worked, asking forgiveness for what she had done, and sent $1,000, both the couple hundred dollars that she had pocketed plus interest, and in that is the sense of, you gave me the opportunity and I'm trying to make it right. Sometimes we rage in the storms of our conscience because God is stirring in our heart and mind to see what he is wanting to show us, and that we will have the courage to see it, he will see our way through it. Now, you've lived long enough and you've learned enough to know that what I'm about to say is very true. That sometimes Jesus calms the storm on the sea, and other times he calms our stormy heart while the sea storms on. That is, while the storm is raging on, God is wanting to show us his presence in a way that we may feel his calm in the midst of a crisis, so that we may be of service to him in a troubled world, and that others may be able to trust this presence of Christ in their life for the storms that they are experiencing. Which is one of the reasons when in 2014 we renovated our sanctuary and we chose artwork in the foyer, you'll notice that each time that you leave the sanctuary, in the back left-hand corner is this painting. It's the painting of the Matthew 8 story of Jesus then getting up from his sleep and calming the storm which is there. And that on Sunday by Sunday, you may look at the painting and think, that's where I am right now. And so in this story is the miracle of God's power over nature. Now, we have seen again and again in the story of God's miraculous power, it's never about the event itself, the spectacular event on its own. It's what God is wanting to show us of a larger truth that's revealed in that event. Calming of the storm, the paralyzed man getting up to walk, the woman's bleeding being stopped. Those were real historical events then and today. But there's a larger truth that God's trying to convey. And in Matthew 8 story, he has a big truth for us to take in. Now, I remember when I was a first pastorate at Finchfield, Kentucky, and it was more of a farming community, a bedroom farming community between Frankfurt, the capital, and Louisville, the largest city of the state. And I just arrived on the first Sunday. It was August the 13th, and Steve Howerton, one of the deacons and a dairy farmers, greeted me as I was leaving, and he said, "You know, Pastor, we've been in a drought, and it's your responsibility to pray for rain and get rain to come." Pastor Search Committee hadn't shared that with me. And early on, I began to kind of wrestle with the relationship of nature and God's grace and sovereign wisdom and how this flows together. And in this is a humility of the mystery, but the promise of God to be able to work through all the circumstances and to reveal his best. So briefly, let's walk through these five verses and see what God has to show us in this kind of narrative exposition of the story. It begins in verse 23 with an expectation. Jesus, who had been busy with the ministry, revealing the presence of God to hurting souls and hoping people, Jesus was wanting to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and so he got in the boat, and the disciples followed him. That's important. It's not a throwaway line. Jesus led, they followed. Jesus leads you, you follow. I remember as a boy in vacation Bible school learning this basic lesson that the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. The most dangerous place to be is outside of God's will. It may not always feel safe, and it won't always feel safe in the center of God's will, but it is in the midst of his presence, his pathway, that we know that the resources that he will provide for us to do what we need to do, as it should be done, when it should be done, will be given by God as we are in the center of his will. That comes by following. The sign of a disciple, a follower of Christ, one who has been a seeker that's become a believer, is to step in by following. Every morning when you awaken in the day, a good prayer to pray is, "Lord, I want to follow you today. Lead me, and I will follow you." Verse 24. So they got in the boat. Now, there was an obstacle or an opportunity, depending on your point of view. Suddenly, meaning iethus is the Greek word, immediately, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves were sweeping over this relatively small boat by today's standards, and Jesus was sleeping. Hey, you feel like Jesus sometimes sleeps when you're awake and you think he ought to be awake because you're not sleeping? And so Jesus was sleeping in the stern, the back of the boat, and he was sleeping because he was tired, as Mark's version tells us the story. And there was a lot of ministry ahead of him, and so it was nighttime, and he was to sleep. Wayne Oates, a wise older friend of mine, had said, "The promises we keep, let us sleep. The promises we break, keep us awake." Jesus was keeping his promises. He was able to sleep. And while he was sleeping, though, circumstances of life didn't stop, and they don't stop when you're asleep, and God knows that. That's why God is 24/7 for all eternity. That's why God is called the Lord of your life, because he knows your life, and he is always working on your behalf as you follow him. And when an obstacle shows up, it doesn't mean that God isn't present. It means it's an opportunity for you to see more of what God is wanting to show you by an obedient trust. So in the midst of that, of an obstacle, Jesus wanted to show them this kind of opportunity. Now, it takes a capacity to be able to see that with that kind of faith. It takes a capacity to be able to get beyond simply our fear and the overwhelming part of our fear to see what is possible. We don't use this language in Baptist life, but in many churches around the globe, they'll use the phrase that the center of the church is called the nave. That's a Latin or old Anglo-Saxon word for a ship. And the image of the early Christians was that the church is like the great ship of God sailing across the tides of history. And when the church gathers into worship, they're gathering to be strengthened in this presence of God. One of the seminaries that I had once had spoken in, the whole chapel was designed as a ship. And when the wind blew, you could hear the creaking in the nave in the chapel of the worship space. The term nave and navy comes from this understanding of the ship. So in the midst of this, they, disciples then, overwhelmed by the storm, came and said, "We are about to die." And Jesus was asleep. Now, he wasn't asleep out of indifference. The humanity of Christ was requiring what you need and I need every night. You can't defy the need for sleep. You lean into it to let God restore your energies to live the only life that you're going to be able to live, your life here on earth. But God is wanting to grow your capacity. And when they said, "Lord, save us," the word for that is Hosanna. You see that in the beginning of Scripture, of the Gospels, and the end of the Gospels. It's Hosanna, God save us. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, about a year and a half after this story, they would say, "Lord, save us, Hosanna." The disciples were saying it. Growing a capacity to trust in God's presence, how is your capacity? What is your capacity to take in life events with the eyes of faith and to be able to see what was possible? What Jesus knew also about his disciples, they were fishermen. They knew the Sea of Galilee. They knew how to sail ships. They knew how to sail ships in troubled waters. He knew that the disciples knew that the Sea of Galilee, shaped like a harp, about 7 by 14 miles, is located in a sunken valley with mountains to the north, Hermon and Golan Heights. To the south is the Negev Desert. To the west is the Mediterranean Sea. You get hot air plus the moisture from the sea coming down with the cool of the mountains, and storms on the Sea of Galilee are normal events, even intense storms. And Jesus had a confidence in their capacity to handle the storm. Now, it is not in Scripture, in case you have looked at the 31,101 verses for which you've been told was in the Bible. It is not in the Scriptures that God won't give you more than you can handle. It does say in Scripture that there's no temptation that comes to you that isn't common to all humanity, and Christ, who has been tempted in every way like we have, provides the escape route for us to get to it. Good enough for me, I'll go with it. The principle is true in the Scripture that God won't give you more than what he is giving you for you to be able to handle it. That's why Mother Teresa said, "Lord, I know you said that, but I wish you wouldn't trust me so much." And about 99% of us may be feeling that this morning. That God has grown a capacity in you, which is why Louisa May Alcott, who wrote Little Women, in the middle of the stormy time of the United States history of the Civil War, she wrote this classic of Little Women, and she said, when asked if she was afraid, "I'm not afraid of storms, for I'm learning how to sail my ship." So God gives you the capacity in the responsibility of your life with your head and your hands and your heart, capacity to be able to navigate your way under his leadership through every day that comes your way. He leads, you follow, he'll supply. That's how we get centered in the midst of the story. So Jesus awakens from his deep sleep. He looks at the storm and basically shrugs his shoulders and says, "What's the big deal?" Sometimes we get ourselves cornered in our frightful faith because we have the wrong expectation that there won't be problems coming our way. No human being doesn't have that. I want you, when you look around on Sunday morning, everyone here has problems pressing on his or her life. And the people that you look around and you can say, they've got it easy. Let me tell you, they don't have it easy. No one does. It is part of the human condition. It is part of living in this earth. And that's why Christ, who comes as Savior, the presence of God to give us the gift of salvation and Lord to guide us through life doesn't just take us out of the storm, but gives us the capacity to go through the storm in his power. Now, God wants you and for me to avoid all the unnecessary problems. I mean, we choose to put our grandchild on some certain nights in the middle of our bed. That's a choice that we make. Therefore, any problems that come, it's on me. It's on us. That's a little deal, and it's a fun deal. There are some problems that you're in the middle of, or I get in the middle of, that God didn't create. He didn't want them to happen. You got there by your own decision. But because Christ is Savior and Lord, he's not going to leave you there alone. He'll be with you. And then he'll say, what did you learn? That's the capacity to grow. You know the story about the turtle that got on top of the fence post? Turtle looked around and said, I didn't get here all by myself. Sometimes circumstances and people will put us into that situation. And so God's capacity is to be able to center us. So when he said to them, of little faith, faith is trust. Fear is overcoming their faith. Fear was controlling their faith. But when we can turn our fear into faith and our faith into faithfulness, then we see the great capacity of what God is wanting to be able to show us in the midst of the difficulty. Trust Jesus to bring out your very best. That's what I said. Trust Jesus to bring out the very best of who you are in light of him being at work within you. Now, verse 27 then gets to our crescendo, gets to a climax. And it's the what now? The disciples saw this stormy sea being calmed. They looked at Jesus and they said, what kind of man is this? See, that's the witness of the faith. Now, we take this chapter and we apply it in various ways. Our world is troubled, raging storms which are there. Some of which we as the Trinity family are specifically to respond to in the power of the Christ who's arisen and is calming the storm because he wants to do it through you and through me. You notice when the story shows up the next time in Matthew 14, it just hit me this week. I'm sorry, I confess to your pastor. I've been at this a while and it just dawned on me this week. The Matthew 14 is the second half of the story of Matthew 8. A storm once again was on the sea. Jesus walking on the sea. Peter, having learned from the first episode, then looks out and sees Jesus and says, hey, I got the first lesson. Can I come out and walk on the sea with you? And Jesus said, come on. But while he was on the sea, walking on the sea, Peter began to say, wait, I am really walking on water. And the doubt that shows there in the Greek is very clear. It's not a doubt, is he, can he do it by Christ's power? Not is it actually happening, but as a self-doubt in light of this, can I keep doing this? And he could only keep doing it by the same kind of faith that got him started that would see him through. So the progression is, what kind of man is this? Well, this is the Son of God, the one who created the heavens and the universe and created you and me. He is involved intimately in our world. And he wants you to be his means to calm a troubled world and for Trinity Baptist Church. In a minute, you're going to hear from a good friend of mine and our church, Dr. Kajuomo, staying in our missionary residence for a week. He's a great leader in the continent of Africa through the Pan-African Baptist World Alliance, and that we have partnered in the past and we continue to partner in a troubled time in West Africa, including in Nigeria. God's doing a great work. Kojo, we are proud of you, and we're grateful for our partnership with you. In the midst of that partnership, this week, in our McCarty conference room, we picked up in the leadership that a Gene Dawson Jr. and the mayor's task force had commissioned for affordable housing in San Antonio, but did so in order to create a faith model by which we can also address the hope and the need for people to have affordable housing in San Antonio. Hosting in that conversation here, as a firm believer in Jesus Christ in any and all that I do and that we do, but being able to partner as a model of peace of people from different perspectives in order to accomplish and fulfill a common need. The power of Christ showing through a troubled time. We are supportive of legal immigrants. And therefore, our Isaac Project is a means by which people who are here legally but are needing assistance in being here so that they can succeed in their life here. That's what the whole conversation on August 12 is about. Difficulties and what can we do about it? In troubled waters and troubled times. The vision plan that we will reveal on August the 26th comes out of the heart and the prayer that we've shared as a congregation, casting a vision for 2018 and 19 and looking beyond. We can view our three campuses, the Mulberry campus, the Rubel Center Alpha Home campus, the Tri Point campus, as being like a ship in raging waters. That in the midst of a ship in raging waters, a safe place of any boy and girl, any man or woman, any family, any individual from anywhere coming and finding a place to be safe in a troubled world. And therefore, our ministries as a church are all about revealing the centering promise of Christ. And the people in response may say, why do you do this? Let me tell you, there is an amazing Christ Jesus. What kind of man is this? Let me tell you how you step into the power of a living relationship with Christ. When people experience the calm and centered in your life, and they ask you, what enables you to live in your circumstances with not being controlled by fear or anxiety, and you can say to them, I'm a human, I know what it's like to be afraid, but there is a faith in the one who can turn my fear into faith and my faith into faithfulness. And this is how troubled hearts are healed by the Christ. Let's pray together. Troubled times and troubled ways are what it's been like since the Garden of Eden. And here we are in 2018 with this update within our world. This story is a living story. It's fresh off the pages of the gospel in our lives. And Lord, I lift up our people. I lift up our church that you will continue to grow our capacity to honor you and to serve you in your power. That you lead and we follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.